All right, so last week we started Torah Yud. So I think we're up to Eis Dalet in Torah Yud. So the Kitzer, just to chaz a little bit to get back into the piece, so Rav Nachman was introducing to us somewhat a klal in Kedusha. A klal in Kedusha. That's the way we explained it. Rav Nachman was introducing a klal in Kedusha that there is sort of an inverse relationship. It's based on in Kabbalah an inverse relationship between what's called the inverse relationship between Iris and Kalim. As deeper Iris are drawn into the system, lower Kalim are activated by that. That's what we spoke about last week. Is that if you imagine like a golem, you know, like a just a body that's empty of a soul, and then there's a soul that has all the same parts, the corresponding parts to the body. So it's like the soul body descends into the physical body, sort of feet first. So as lower, so in the beginning, all you have are the sort of the feet of the soul in the body, and then at that point, all that's activated is the head of the physical body. As higher levels of soul enter into the system, lower levels of the body become animated, become activated. So this is a klal in Kedusha. It's a klal in Kedusha that the more iris a person is accessing, the higher iris, adarabah v'adarabah, the lower kalim are more activated. Right? So for example, we gave examples last week, but just another simple one is that what's the difference? You know, Chazal say that the Ovis and even before that, Nayach and so on, they kept the Torah before it was given, right? They kept the Torah before it was given. So what exactly was the Chiddush of Har Sinai then? So you could say that now we're obligated to keep it, right? But it's more than that. The Svarim explained, well, Tanya talks about this in a few places, that, yes, the Ovis, you know, they kept the Torah before it was given, but the difference was is that before Har Sinai, every mitzvah didn't necessarily, they weren't physical, not necessarily. And even if they had some physical experience, that was just something that the tzaddik was able to do to sort of have a shaychus to it. So for example, it's well known in Zohar Kaddish, it's a well-known idea in this farm that when Yaakov Avinu was Isaac with the sticks, right, with the sheep and the whole mice at the end of Parshas Vayetze, making sure this, you know, getting the sheep to produce certain types of whatever. So the Zohar says that was an inyan of tefillin. You know, tefillin. What does it mean? He wasn't putting on tefillin. Tefillin is an inyan. There's iris. There's a it's a ruchniyistik space that's called tefillin. So Yaakov Avinu and the physicality of tefillin was not given until Har Sinai. So before Har Sinai, yeah, Yaakov kept tefillin, but not tangibly. It was more ruchnius. And so, in order to sort of access that place in ruchnius that's called tefillin, so he would do some sort of action to sort of concretize it a little bit. What was that action? That action didn't have inherent significance. It wasn't. He didn't give over to the Shvatim how to set up the sticks. It wasn't. It was at that moment, at that time, Yaakov Avinu sensed that if I do this action with sticks, it'll give me access to that bechina that's called tefillin. But it wasn't. It wasn't concrete. It wasn't. The Chiddush of Har Sinai was that now, with all the iris and all the ruchniyistik things, there's a chefta that's called tefillin. There's an object that's called tefillin and has that kedusha. You know, that's why you know it says in pasuk when Avram Avinu made Eliezer take a shvua, right? Mm-hmm. So simna yod chatachas yirechi. So Rashi says Chazal say that he held on to Avram Avinu's bris mila. Why? So that's the way it's explained by the Mefarshim, because to make a shvua, he wanted Eliezer to hold on to a chefta shel kedusha, right? Like a Nikitas Chayfetz, certain Shavuos and Bezdin, Medraisa, you need to hold on to an object of Kedusha. I don't understand. Rav Avinu kept the Torah before it was given. So he had a pair of tefillin, Mestama, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah. We have to hold on to a Bris Mila. The answer is, I'm not sure if he had a Sefer Torah, tefillin, and Mezuzahs, you know? He kept the Torah before it was given, but not in that tangible way. And even if, whatever reason, let's say he was mechaving to actually have a pair of tefillin, it wouldn't have a Chaleis Kedusha like that. Because a Chaleis Kedusha in an object, that's a Chiddush of post-Har Sinai, or that's a Chiddush of when Hashem gives you a mitzvah. Milo was a mitzvah that Avram Avinu was given, which was a little bit like sort of a, you know, a a post Har Sinai inyan that Hashem gave to Avram Avinu pre Har Sinai. So even though we keep the mitzvah of Mila, for example, because it was given post Har Sinai, but in Chumash the mitzvah is recorded in Parshas Lech, in Parshas Lech Lecha, because that inyan that was given to Avram Avinu was a little bit of a cut and paste from post Har Sinai to pre Har Sinai. But that's why it had the definition of the Chavsa Shal Kedusha. So the Chiddush of Har Sinai is that now we have tangible mitzvahs with Kelim and Kelim Shoinim, and they can be defined as the Chavsa Shal Kedusha. So is that an upgrade or a downgrade? Har Sinai. What's the Chiddush of Har Sinai? Then now, instead of Tefillin being an unbelievable spiritual experience, now it's very tangible and very practical. Why is that a Mila? And the opposite, and if anything, you would think Har Sinai would be more ruchnius, because the whole Maimid Har Sinai was Einan Movadai, Giluyim, the heavens opened up, Atarei Seladas. And what was given in that Maimid, in that unbelievable ruchniistic Maimid that was greater than any spiritual experience before that? The Gedarim of Shluch HaKein. Like, well, the answer is it's inverse of Aris and Kalim. Adarabba. The reason why the Ovis did not have the lowest kalim of an actual tangible pair of tefillin was not animated yet, was because the iris of tefillin were not in their highest form drawn down yet. So it was like, L'mashal, every mitzvah is an infrastructure, right? So ultimately, when you have the actual physical tzivui, the actual tzivui, the physical pair of tefillin, that corresponds to, let's say, the feet of the body of tefillin, right? But in order for those feet to become animated, you need the head of the soul of tefillin to enter into the system, and then the entirety of the body is animated. You follow that? So you need, you know what I'm saying? So in order to get to that lowest madrega of kalim, you need highest level of iris. Before Har Sinai, they didn't have the highest level of iris, right? Ushmi havai leinedati lehem, Hashem said to Moshe, right? Kel shakai. So they didn't have the highest level of iris. Because of that, the lowest level kelim were not animated in the universe of mitzvahs. So the only thing that they had in mitzvahs were activities which, you know, like sticks and things like that, which didn't have an everlasting effect. It wasn't a chefs of shul kedusha. Because the kelim were not fully... a pair of tefillin, which is forever, you know, that's the feet of the body of the mitzvah tefillin, that's called an actual pair of tefillin. You know, the head of that body, that's sticks that Yaakov, you know, sets up, which is, it's not really the full kalim yet. But the reason why Yaakov didn't have the full kalim is because the full iris were not descended. So Davka by Har Sinai, you have the full iris of mitzvahs that animates the lowest kalim and gives you Mrs. Maisius. So the result is Mrs. Maisius. That's what Rav Nachman was talking about, that you see this specifically with davening, right? The davening, the greater the davening, the highest level of davening, which is Shemoneh Esrei, is davka dealing with Chai Yisho in Yonim. Whereas the less madregas of davening, by Kriya Shema, is talking about seemingly much more spiritual things. So the answer is this principle, the inverse of Iris and Kalim. Davka, because of the highest level of Iris that one accesses by Shemoneh Esrei, that's exactly what animates the lowest Kalim of Rafeinu and Baruch Aleinu and of Chai Yishah. That's exactly the point. That's the Simen L'Dover. That's what we saw last week, that the Simen L'Dover, how a person knows that his Avodas Hashem is healthy, is if the more Iris a person accesses, the greater they grow in their Ruchnias, the lower the Kalim of their life becomes animated and becomes healthy and well. But if a person is growing in ruchnius but becomes more and more, because of that, detached with the practical and with the down to earth and, you know, with the mitzvahs maisi, so to speak, then that person's avoida is not following the system of experiencing elikos. This is the model in which Hashem reveals himself, which is through Iris and Kalim, and the inverse relationship of the two of them. If a person's not experiencing that model, it means the person's not on track. Then it's demyonis. The person is just demyonis. It's not real. So that's what we spoke about. That's what he said, that tefillah, going from Avram to Yaakov, from Har, Sada to Bayis. So on the one hand, it's becoming more grounded, davening, right? Kibesi Beis Tefillah, what starts off as Bahar Hashem Yiroah, right, ends up being Ein Zakim Beis Elokim. So it's becoming more tangible, more relatable. Even nations of the world can experience davening because of Yaakov Avinu. So seemingly he's becoming more lowered, but from Avram to Yaakov, davening, the iris of davening is getting higher. So that's what the Rav Nachman has a lashon. We saw this last time that Rav Nachman has a lashon that davening is being oila from bias to, from sada to from har to bias. So when it goes down from mountain to bias, it's going up. So what's the answer is the iris are going up, and because of that, the kalim are going down. That's the inverse relation. Okay, so now we're to Eistal. Alright, the inyan zeh, this idea, lahalis atzfila mevichinas har v'sada, the vichinas bias, this inyan of ascending davening, that's the irony, the davening of going up from har all the way to bias, vichinas ir lekena, like we saw last time, that there's the bias of davening, and then there's the city that all those batim develop into, ir lekena. Kadeshis gal machusa gam la'akum. Right, that's what this whole idea, that's what it started with. That Rav Nachman said that the greatest Kiddush Hashem, the greatest manifestation of Hashem's light is when it's so intense that it gets all the way so far low that even Goyim have a shaychus to it. Right, Chazal, we've spoken about this in the past. The Chazal say, there's a number of Chazals that say that what's going to be Mashiach's personal preoccupation once he comes. Right, so he has a lot of work to do to come and, you know, to get, you know, but once everything's in place, what's his day-to-day, what's 9 to 5? So, Chazal say that his preoccupation is going to be teaching Goyim. Who's going to want to teach Goyim? Who's going to teach Goyim? Who's going to want to be, Kikulm Yedu Oisim, Mikidon Vakitanim, every year is going to be a Navi. You're not going to, so the only one that's going to take upon himself the responsibility of teaching Goyim is going to be Mashiach. Really? So the greatest Jew of all time, he's going to be the one teaching Goyim? Inverse of Aris and Kalim, yeah. The Davka, the greatest light, which Mashiach will experience, will allow him to teach Goyim, to animate the lowest Kalim. So that's the greatest Kiddush Hashem. When the Zohar says, oh, that's what we started the piece with, that the greatest Kiddush Hashem is when someone from the outside, like a Yisrael, comes in. So why is that? Because it's just like, it's just the Kiddush Hashem, it's just, an, you know, because it's like a shocking thing, like who would expect it? But deeper than that, it's fundamentally, the fact that Yisrael was able to come, in other words, that the iris of you know, Kriyas Yamsuf, Melchamas Amalek, whatever it is that he heard, those iris were so intense that they were able to make it all the way to Midian, where Yisrael was. Again, so obviously he had to have the proper achanas to receive it and to hear it. Not, you know, as everyone knows that he heard obviously those inyanim of Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchamas Amalek differently than other people, but L'maisa, for it to get all the way to Yisrael, that's an indication of how deep the iris were. So again, that inyan, in order for the Malchus of Hashem to be revealed even to Goyim, Shilam Gamkin Asaga Belkusa Yisbrach Shemoy, that even they should have Asaga. So Iyev Shel Yosses Kim Alidei Tzadiki Hadar. So the Tzadiki Hadar, that's almost, you know, Rav Nachman always, I can't say always, but very often connects the Torah and the Avoid of any very Torah to the tzaddikim of the generation. This sort of the avodas Hashem that's oriented healthily in this way of Aris and Kalim, that's something that the tzaddiki hadar, the true tzaddiki hadar, sort of live with. Someone who has someone that's sick in the family, you should go to a chacham, and the person, the chacham will daven for that person that's sick. So you see that specifically with davening, which is again of all of this Hashem, davening captures this inyan of Aris and Kalim properly. So that inyan of davening, the Gemara says specifically, is more by the chacham, by the tzaddik. Ikur hatfila einam yoidim kiim tzaddiki hadar. Again, why? Because again, davening is this inyan. The higher you go, the lower the kalim that's animated. Or like we said last time from our tzaddik, the higher the madrega of davening, the more nothing you feel, the more powerless you feel, right? In other words, again, that's also the experience of the inverse of Aris and Kalim. The high Torah is not like that. Torah, I mean, it could be, but it doesn't have to be. Torah, the more you know, the more you the more you know, the more powerful you feel. Davening, the better you're davening, the more powerless you feel. Why is that? Because the higher levels of iris, which you're accessing by davening, animates the lower kalim. The lower kalim automatically feel the natural consciousness of lower kalim is helplessness. You know, the head is in charge. So if you ask the head, like, you know, what does it think about itself? It'll say, you know, pretty good. But if you ask the soles of a person's feet, what do you feel like today? How would you define yourself? They'd say, we're mamish nothing. We're schleppers. So how do you know? So when your davening is animating the lowest parts of you, again, in a good way, in davening, then that produces a consciousness, which is a feeling of very, very low and very humble. Davening captures that more than anything else. So again, that's why davening is the nekuda. That's why, again, as Rav Nachman, we saw this last time, that a person has to turn the Torah into davening, right? So again, kipshuta, it means, you know, I guess, daven about what you learn, or whatever you're learning about, daven to Hashem that you should be able to, you know, keep it and so on. But it's deeper than that. In the nefesh, it means that when you're learning, for the learning also to be part of this system, is that the more you know, the more humble you, the more like the soles of the feet you feel like at the end, as opposed to the head, right? Because that'll be a good indicator that your Torah was also bechinas tefillah. But anyway, but he says that's what you see from the Gemara, that the inyan of tefillah is really by the tzaddiki hadar. Why? So he says kiyesh bali gaiva, because there are bali gaiva she'enam reitzim she'ech la tzaddikim, that they don't want to go to tzaddikim. V'amrim, and they'll say she'en ba'atzim yichon l'spal, they know how to daven too. They don't have to go to a tzaddik. Umayim gam acherin, they'll stop other people from going too. Gesheshen tzara chaylov, let's say that other person has something going on in their life and they want to go tzaddikim, but they're going to stop them leilch tzaddikim. They'll stop them from going. Aleim them, regarding these bali gaiva, it says hashiv eishes ha'ish v'chulu ki navihu, right? That's the maisa with Avram Avinu when Tzara is captured by Avimelech, right? So Hashem punishes Avimelech, and eventually Hashem he has some sort of vision in a dream, and Hashem in a dream tells Avimelech, return this married woman that you have, Sari Menu, to Avram Avinu, and he'll daven for you. Kinoviu, he's a Navi, so he'll daven for you. So what do those two things have to do with each other? He's going to daven for you because he's a Navi, and if he's not a Navi, he won't. Like, what is? So Rashi says, since he's a Navi, he's going to know that you didn't touch Sarah, so he'll be willing to daven for you. That's Rashi. But a more simple pshat is that as we'll see soon, the Nevi'im have a koich of davening. Like, his davening will work because he's a Navi. What does Nevu have to do with davening? He says like this. Kizah Balgaiva, this Balgaiva that's refusing to go to the tzaddik or even stopping other people, thinks that he's able to daven. Mechuna b'loshen Avimelech. He's hinted to in the name Avimelech. Why? Avi is loshen ratzin. The word Avi is like avisa sihila. The word Avi, just a standalone word. Avi means ratzin, means to want something. And what does Avimelech mean? Ki ratzin limlech means he wants to be the king, right? Man malki rabbanan. The tzaddik is the true king, but Avimelech, this guy wants to be the king. The tzaddik truly is ruling through his davening. That the tzaddik is able to sort of control things in Shemaim through his davening. But this Avimelech person is having gaiva within himself. That he could daven and he could be the king. That's why he's called Avimelech. He wants to be the king. And he says, I will be the king. V'zepesh, that's the meaning. So Hashem says to Avimelech, Hashav Eishes Eish, return this married woman. Eishes is Rosh HaTevis, Hashem Svasei Tiftach. So Bechinas Tefillah. So Eishes Eish is a reference to davening. Hainu. So what's he saying? Hashem says to Avimelech, you want to be the king, you don't have davening. Hainu, Hashav Eishes, Bechinas Tefillah, La Tzadik. Hashav Eishes Ha'ish, return the davening to the true man, to the true tzaddik. Why? Ki Novihu, because he's a Novi. What does that mean? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mas'avet Vosan Shel Tzaddikim, because the Rabbanu Shalom Yinu Chazal say, has a taiva kiviyochel for the davening of tzaddikim. Umishagir tefila sadur bepiv kidei sheyehana mitfilasai. It's amazing. And the Rabbanu Shalom sends davening in the mouth of the tzaddik that it should come out well and smooth in order that Hashem should have hanah from his davening. We'll try to explain once let's finish the piece. V'zeh kinoviyu, that's the meaning of the pasuk. Return eishes ho'ish. So Hashem says to Avimelech, you don't have the koich of davening. The koich of davening, which is eishes, is in truth by the ish, that's by the tzaddik. And what is the character what's the simen, or you know, what's the difference between the tzaddik's davening and your davening, Avimelech? So the answer is kinoviyu. Niv, the word navi comes from the word niv, which means like something traveling through a pipe smoothly. Kinovihu. His davening is shigur bepiv. His davening comes out nice and smooth. He doesn't stumble with his words. His lips move well. And the reason why for that is because Hashem is giving himself the Shmai, because Rabbanu Shalom has nachas hearing from his tefillah. So he says, Kamashamar Chachamin is zal, like the Gemara says, Bari niv sevasayim, im shigur tefilasi bepiv, right? That's the famous maisa, was it Rechinim ben Daisa, right? That he said that if his davening came out smooth, it was a siman that was accepted. Right? If it doesn't, then not. V'zeh hoshev, that's the pasuk also. Hoshev eishes ish, right? Kinovihu. Hoshev is Rosh Tevis, har sade bayis. Har sade bayis. Eremes, shetzfil satzadik hu b'shlemus. That's the meaning. That this ish, who's the navi, his davening is shalem. It's har sade bayis. So, first of all, that's exactly what it means that the tefillah shagur bepiv. How do we? The greatest hanah that the Rabbanu Shalom gets in davening, how do we know that? And what's the simen of how we know that the davening is unbelievably high, that it's getting all the way, the highest madrigas to the Kisei Kavod, and the Rabbanu Shalom is having Hana and Taiva, which is Keser and Ratzon. The highest madrigas of Iris is what? Is when your lip, when the words come out of your lips smoothly. You understand? Again, Iris and Kalim. The highest Iris, which is Nisavag Lishbroch, the Taiva of Hashem, and him, the Rabbanu Shalom having Ratzon Kiviyachol from this experience, the indication of that is when the davening on the most basic level, when you say the words properly, right? That's where the Kamarna writes this in a few places. He says that that if a person, he says it autobiographically, Kilo, but you know, he says that sometimes you know, it's one of those things like Halavai, we shouldn't have Meichin like he doesn't have Meichin, but every once in a while he talks about like you know he didn't have any Meichin, he's in Katnas and all these things. So one of the things that he was mechazik himself with was the following thought. He says, "Lomini gara." Like so. What's so bad if I daven like a pasha to you? So what's so bad if I just say the words? What's so bad? And then he would begin to think. And every single ois, like the Baal Shem Tov was taught by the Mashiach, that every single ois of the Aleph Beis, deep down, has ein sof in it. So he says, "I'm say the words, and I'll just really, really appreciate the fact that I was giving this chus to say Baruch Shamar, to just say the words." And he would be mizboine and like be makasher himself to those words. And from there, he would rediscover Ein Saif, and then, you know, he would catch on fire again. So there is such an inyan of just appreciating. So it's interesting. So sometimes, because of this principle of Iris and Kalim, the question is, what do you start with, right? So the usual model, in certain Sefer Chassidus for sure, is that your avoid is to draw down more light, and the result of that will be lower kalim becoming animated. The Chiddush by the Kamarno, you find this in the earliest form of Toldos Yaakov Yosef, also like Chabad, for example. Chabad is boininus of Chabad, is more in that way. Melomala lamata is that you draw down iris, you access higher iris, and then mela, it'll activate lower kalim. You have to go in with that intention, right? That you can't go in with that intention trying to just access iris, but adraba, like, you know, amaisu ikr, you know, it has to be, you know, the tachlis has to be shoy, the tachlis has to be, you know, producing practical avoida. But how do you animate those kalim? Your avoida is to access higher light. In other sifr chassidus, other schools, you find a different mahalach. And again, there's different matzavim in a person's life. So another way is like the Kamarna just said, which is like animate lower kalim, and then and go the other way, right? Be makasha yourself with appreciating the avoid of saying davening properly with your words from a sitter. That's what to do that. And since in order to animate lower kalim, automatically there needs to be the influx of the highest light. So if you're animating lower kalim, automatically you're also causing the highest light to come in. You're just starting from bottom up. And both are appropriate, both are fine. Again, you have to be mechavin to both. You know, that's it's brought down the Kamarna and the Kamarna's son, and it's a Masar in the family that by the Kamarna, he would always daven from a sitter, like inside with his eyes open. He was, you know, so there's different reasons for that. I mean, one, you know, his son said the reason is because there was such an influx of yichudim and kavanis that were, you know, in order to focus himself, that he shouldn't just become completely lost in his own space. He would like force himself to look into a sitter. That's certainly, and I'm sure there's truth to that. And the Kamarna says that sometimes it would be the opposite. In order to get to those iris, he would have to start from just focusing on the sitter and the isis. So it's, that's what he says, that the ultimate navi, bari nivs v'sayim, is that the highest madrig of R is. And is when the davening comes out smooth. The opposite. So it's interesting. Rav Nachman now introduced us to a category of people that are outside of this model, right? So the tzaddikim kviyochel, that's the category that fits into this model. Their avodas Hashem is shaykh to the inverse of Aris and Kalin, right? Hashu eshes ish kinoviu. But then there's another category of people that, again, we're making kilutz people. It's bechina within every person. But there's a category of people that are the opposite of this. And the Rav Nachman describes them as Bali Gaiva. And their tagline, their, mission statement is Ano Emlech. So those that have a background, a little bit of Torah, those words Ano Emlech, ooh, you know, ding, 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 that tells you something. In the Kabbalah, I'm just going to say this quickly. It's, you know, in the Kabbalah Svarim, we find in the Kisveri, it is not just a principle. It is one of the most important principles that all of the Kisveri is built on, which is the following idea: is that this model that we've been discussing until now, which is the relationship of Aris and Kalim, that creates that's a stable model. It's a stable model. Stability means tikkun. Tikkun means when a functional system, spiritually speaking, is when Iris and Kalim are united together and they work in tandem. And the Iris are focused on animating the Kalim. The Kalim are focused on experiencing the light. And so now there's a healthy shidduch. So the more iris, the lower the kalim are animated, everyone's on the same page, and it's gevaldik, it's a cohesive system. Your neshama is not fighting the body is not fighting the neshama. But then that's called tikkun. But the Rizal revealed that there's another model that can theoretically be, in, which is what's called a model of toyu. The Pasuk says in the beginning, before the Rabban Hashem created, or the Rizal says the Rabban Hashem created the spiritual system in two stages. The first system was one of Toiv Avayu. It was also with Iris and Kalim, but it was unstable. It was a Toiv Dikimatsiv. And then when that fell apart, because it's only a matter of time until it will, so then the Rabban Hashem reintroduced the system with the Rabban Hashem sort of recreated the system in this with stability. That's Vayihar, the 6 days of creation. That's already creation stage two. What's the difference between stage one and stage two? Both stages of creation, whether it be Toyu Vavayu or Vayihar and going further, both have all the basic ingredients, Iris and Caleb. But what's the difference? The difference is that in Tikkun, the Iris have a certain humility, and the Iris know that their purpose is to animate Kalim. That's their goal. Yes, they have to be true to themselves. Iris are Ruchni, and Iris are high, but their inyan is, the reason why Hashem, why those Iris exist, is for the purpose of animating Kalim. And the Kalim have also a sense of humility, to recognize that they can't exist on their own. They need to be animated by Iris. And if Kalim are left on their own, then they will not be able to function. And so each side of the system of Iris and Kalim is humble and is willing to hear and to accept what the other side has to offer. If it wasn't for Kalim, then Iris wouldn't exist. If it wasn't for Iris, Kalim couldn't function. So everyone needs each other, and that's fine. That's called Tikkun. What's Tayu? Tayu is Iris are kicking and screaming, not really interested in being in Kalim. Kalim are kicking and screaming, they're not really interested in humbling themselves to Iris. Everyone's saying, Ano Amlech. Everyone's saying, Ano Amlech. So what happens to that matzah? So that can last for rega. That could last for a moment. That's called, by the Vilna Gaon, that's called Olam HaTayu. So for a moment, it could look stable, but it's a house of cards, because no one's really, there's no integration. So then it's a then what happens is, then there's what's called a Shvir Sakelim. What does it mean, Shvir Sakelim? Shvir Sakelim means that when that, in that instability, not only does it not last, but that instability, what happens ultimately is that whatever, see, because the Kalim, I'm not sure how much to go into this, I'm not sure.
Thank you, all the way.
Part of my avoid with Arson Kalim is to, you don't want to overwhelm the Kalim. You know? You have to understand. Let me try to give an example. Let's say you have a person that is okay. I'll say the thing, and then maybe I'll think of a mashal after. When Kalim and Iris are not truly looking at each other face to face, that's also what we find in the Zohar Kaddish and the Kisvei Agra, is that a description of Olam HaTayu is when the relationship of Iris and Kalim are themselves back to back. They're not really face to face. The Iris are not really interested in being mashpia to the Kalim. The Kalim are not really being interested in being mekabel from the Iris. Now again, it's bal karchan. It's like the Mishnah says, bal karcha chatechai. So the Iris have no choice but being forced to be mashpia to Kalim. But it's derech ocher. They're not really interested. The Kalim have no choice but to receive from Ar, because otherwise they're dead. So they have no choice. But because it's without a choice, then you know what happens? What happens is, at the first moment of opportunity for the Iris to leave, they'll leave. First moment. Second of all, when the Kalim receive energy from the R, they're not really changing from it. They're not really purifying themselves from that experience. They're just getting enough life force, and waiting for the bell to ring, that they could run out and just do what they want anyway. So what happens is like, this is in the first, but in the matzav of Tayu. So what happens is that it becomes, not only does it not last, does the system not have stability, but it ends up becoming very detrimental. Because all of the, see, when you have Kalim that don't have art to them and they're dead, then nothing's happening. At least they're not a danger. So it's like it's like a lion that's dangerous, but the lion is tranquilized. So it's not, at least there's nothing bad happening. But what happens when you give life to the lion, but the lion doesn't have any cage, and there's no shmir, there's nothing, then what happens? And it's like kedai for it not to have been woken up. So says the Arizal, what happens is when the Iris go into the Kalim, but it's still in this matzav of back-to-back and of Tayu, that not only did the Kalim not become refined from that, but ultimately it becomes a Shvir Sakelim. What does it mean, Shvir Sakelim? Shvir Sakelim means you have one Kli, which is okay, fine, so it's a vase. Is it doing amazing things? No, but at least it's not harming anybody. One happens then. Then the Shvir has by Shvir means that vase now breaks down into a billion pieces, and that's a mashal to what? That's a mashal to where the Kalim have received just enough R to become animated, But to be animated with what? To be animated with their own inyanim. And now all of a sudden, those their inyanim, which was chaotic and destructive and unhealthy, and now they have a battery to go do what they want. So it becomes even worse. It's better for the Oris not to have been not to have given the kaiches to the kalim, because otherwise it's like again it's like chas v'shalom, like there's one of the worst things is a person that's megal upon a b'torah shleik halacha. What does megal upon a b'torah shleik halacha means? A person uses the Torah in a way to manipulate people, to manipulate the Torah in a way to create bad things. Right? That's the worst. It's one thing, it's better. So at least you're not, the person's Amoritz. So fine, so you're just Stam and Amoritz. But now that you know a little bit, and you're using the energy of Torah to express your own Yetzirah, that's even worse. That's Tayu. So in the Matzav of Tayu, not only is there this refusal on both sides of Aris and Kalem to integrate and to accept and to experience the elikus in a healthy way, which is an inverse of Aris and Kalem, but not only is there a refusal to that, but the result of that is this very strange, like double life almost of the person. On the one hand, the person has Aris, which means a part of them that's focused on going up. But then at the same time, there's a part of them that's called Kalem, which is actually becoming worse and worse, and becoming more destructive as time goes on, because of the influence of Iris, but not the true integration of Iris. You understand? So the person's, now again, this is to a certain degree, now again, let's understand, every person has a little bit of this. When Hashem created the world, then the beginning was Tov Vayu, and then Vayhi Ar, that wasn't like Tov Vayu was completely gone. You know, it means that, The second model of Tikkun is built from the old materials of Tayu Vavayu. And so it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. But this is a set of what the Gemara says called Gadol Mechaver Yitzer Gadol Imenu, right? To a certain degree, everyone has this, right? So the more you, because the higher you go, means the more iris, it means that to a certain degree, the kalim that you have that are not yet fully integrated into your R is now becoming animated by that R, but like the lion that's now woken up without any cage. So even if a person, generally speaking, is in Tikkun and not in Tayu, but everyone has a little bit of Tayu. So called Gadol Mechaver Yitzer Gadol Imenu. In the Zohar Kaddish and the Kisvei Ari, the tagline, like I said, the mission statement of Tayu is Ano Emloich. And so this is a code. Again, in the Kutta Maran, he always drops, he's not quoting every once in a while in a Torah he'll say a line, and that line, like there's a reason why he says that line, and then from there you could sort of rebuild the Torah. But Rav Nachman, again, by him saying over here that this category of Balei Gaiva, their thing is Ano Emloich, that tells you that the entire sugya that we've been doing until now is a sugya of Tayu and Tikkun. That's exactly what we're talking about. Tikkun is inverse of Aris and Kalim, that's Kedusha, that's Tefillah, and so on. The opposite of that is Tayu, which is the statement of An Emlech. So that's what he's saying, that there's Bali Gaiva, that they refuse to go to the Tzadikim, because they say, we can do it as An Emlech. And he says like this, it's late already, just one paragraph, this will... So he says, "Avol elu ha'bali gaiva." These bali gaiva ma'akvin tavosi shal Hashem Yisparach. There's a lot. Well, next week we'll see more about this. This in Taiva. I mean, I guess the following week we'll be busy next week for bringing with Mashiach position, right? So either way, it won't be a shir. Either you know. So he says, "Avol elu ha'bali gaiva ma'akvin tavosi shal Hashem Yisparach." These bali gaiva hold back Hashem's taiva from true davening, from true davening. We'll speak about that. Right? So he says an amazing thing. Because what do they think? They think, well, I'm a tzaddik. I don't have to go to the tzaddik. Why? Why am I a tzaddik? What are these bali guys? What's their frame of reference? Their frame is that they're a tzaddik. Why? Because they fast so much. And they punish their bodies so much. You hear what the Rav Nachman is describing over here? Iris, kalim, not having a shaychus. They look at the tzaddik, and what do they see by the tzaddik? That he's machnes archim, that he talks to people, he's down to earth, he enjoys food, he makes brachas on them with kavana, but he's And all of a sudden they're thinking to themselves, that's not a matzah, that's not a tzaddik. What's a tzaddik? A tzaddik is someone that punishes themselves. Tzaddik is someone that fasts. Tzaddik is someone that whose body is slowly but surely being broken down. No, that's a toyu dik tzaddik. That's a toyu version of Avodas Hashem. That's not a tikkun version of Avodas Hashem. A tikkun version of Avodas Hashem is the more iris, the healthier the kalim. But that, again, that's the difference between toyu and tikkun. So he says they're coming from a place of toyu. So their frame of reference is, well, I'm fasting so much, so it must be that what that I'm a bigger tzaddik. The ein zelik my sack sheish by chayim harbe. It's basically is like a sackcloth that has many holes. Right, it's made of stitching. That's like it has a lot of holes. Ukishmerikin is a sack, and when you empty out the sack and you try to clean it out, aval pikin nishru by chayim. The holes are still there. The holes are still there. So it's like you're not really. And in the holes, there's always going to be stuff schmutz that's stuck. So you could clop it. You could hit all. You know. It's not going to get cleaned out. Okay. If these people would contemplate on themselves, how you write, and they would see, it's ready in 1 minute, that after kol tanisam, after all their fasting, they still have all the taivas. Nothing's really been fixed. Why? Because again, what's happening is that they're becoming disjointed. Their Avodas Hashem is oriented just kulei ar, and the body is now just being put to sleep, but it's not being fixed. And adraba, if at any moment they would not fast, and they break their fast, and the same bali gaivin and taivin and kim taivin kavin, nothing's changed. Because the only way to truly fix the kalim is if the iris are fully on board in being mashpia to the kalim, and the kalim are willing to be mushpa, which means embracing the system of inverse of iris and kalim, which is real, which is what the tzaddikim do. So by them not embracing tzaddikim, that means they're still stuck in that matzav of time. No, that's what Churban Beis Hamikdash is, by the way. What was the Beis Hamikdash? Beis Hamikdash is you have kodshim, karbonis, gishmaka things. The Gemara says in Saita, with the Beis Hamikdash, the sky was very blue. Ever since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the sky is not as blue as it was. And all of a sudden, what's Avodas Hashem without a Beis HaMikdash? Again, now it's different because we have the Baal Shem, so it's leading us back to Mashiach. But without the Beis HaMikdash, what was Avodas Hashem? Toyu. Tanesim Sigufim. And meanwhile, what's going on with the Yetzar? It's still there. Nothing's really fixing it. It's just becoming weakened from all the Tanesim, but it's not really becoming fixed. So that's Golus. That's Golus Bechlal. It's Toyu versus Beis HaMikdash, which is Tikkun. So Hashem brought the Baal Shem Tov and Chassidus to sort of reintroduce us to the Tzaddikim, to that way of Tikkun. And we should have to experience that in a revealed way. We ask God to the Baruch Hu, and here we may know Amen.